Hallelujah. And I want to begin reading at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hallelujah. Verse 8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Verse 9, pay special attention. Verse 9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Hallelujah. And so my plans are not to be before you that long, but I just want to leave some things with you. And so my subject this evening is the call of God. The call of God. Now let's take another look at verse 9 of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. It's on the screen here. It says, "Who has saved us?" Hallelujah. Are you saved?
Amen.
Hallelujah. "Who has saved us?" Not only has he saved us, but he called us. Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Glory to God. You know, God does things after his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? If God has called us, and I'm going into this, excuse me, a little bit deeper, but I want to say this much. Just leave it on the screen there just a moment. If God called us, well, let me say it this way. Since he called us, and he called us for his own purpose, and you've heard me say this a number of times, God didn't call up not a one of us before we came to this earth. He didn't ask us if we wanted to be here. He didn't ask us what point in time did we want to dwell on this earth. When we came to ourselves, we found out we're here. Let me share this with you. Just leave that up just a minute. Since none of us are here by our own choosing, it's an act of God that we're here. Then it would behoove us to seek to do God's will while we're here in the earth. And not seek our own thing, but God's thing. Jesus told the disciples and those that were around him when they questioned him concerning prayer, how they should pray and so forth. And he told them to pray in this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Went on to say, listen at this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say anything about our will, did he? He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So our hearts should always be to please God, because I've been set on this earth for a purpose. There's a reason I'm here. There's a reason you're here. And it says in the book of Acts, we won't go over there, but it talks about God choosing our times, exactly what I'm referring to. Not only our times, but our locations on this earth. Can I throw something else in there? God didn't even ask us what nationality we want to be. God didn't call me up before I was placed in my mother's womb, and he says, son, I'm getting ready to send you to the earth. Now here's my map here. Here's my chart. Now there's white, and there's black, and then there's in between, and you know, all these different colors. So which one you want to be? I showed up a black man. Brothers and sisters, we should love one another. Especially as believers. Now, you know the world, they're going to do their thing. But as believers, we need to love one another.
Right. Amen.
Because when I look at you and you look at me, we're looking at God's handiwork.
Amen.
You hear me? I say, we're looking at God's handiwork.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we ain't got time for all this foolishness of, you know, I don't like you because you white, or I don't like you because you black, or I don't like you because whatever. We need to give God glory.
Amen.
And pray for one another and love one another. Because Jesus said, that's how the world going to know that you are my disciples, because of your love.
Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. Amen. That energy that we're using up fighting one another, let's just use that same energy to love one another and glorify God. Amen.
Yes.
But let me get back to where I was. God has a purpose for each one of us. There's a call on our life. Now you might say, Pastor, I don't know what my calling is, and sometimes folks walk around for years and man, I just want to do what Lord, what you want me to do, Lord. Listen, just do what you know to do. As a matter of fact, and some of you have been knowing me for years and years. Some of you have been knowing me practically all my life, like Brother Paul over there. You know, he and I used to play together in the churchyard. We used to play tag. He was about the littlest thing out there, but he could outrun all of us. Hallelujah. He was the fastest thing on the churchyard. And we did. We play tag and you it and all that. Anybody remember that little game? Yeah, yeah. Of course you do. You know, and so you know, he knowing me all my life. I've practically all my life, and I'm the same. But you know, I never as a child, I never thought that God would one day call me to preach. Or pastor, frankly, I didn't want to. Amen. I didn't want to be a pastor. Because frankly, as a child, I didn't figure I would measure up to that. You know, but you know what? God makes us all different, don't he? Amen. I'm so glad that I don't have to preach like someone else, but I can appreciate the gift that God has given them. And hopefully they will appreciate the gift that God has placed on the inside of me.
Amen.
Sometimes we're too busy trying to be like somebody else. We learn from each other, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We are teachable and we should learn from each other. But one of the things that we need to learn first, I believe, is what God has put on the inside of us.
Amen.
Amen. And I use my brother Paul over there. If it's Christmas time, and someone bring him a gift, and then they bring me a gift, and they bring him a pair of pants. Because it ain't gonna work. You understand what I'm saying? And mine would be real baggy on him. Pants. That's what fits me. When we find out how God has gifted us and called us, we need to walk in that because that's what fit us.
Amen.
You're still here. Back to 2 Timothy 1:9. I never finished it. It said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You get that? All of us been called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, what? Before time began. Amen. You can take it down now. Thank you very much. Glory to God. So, first of all, and foremost of all, listen at this. We have been called to sonship. Hallelujah. We have been called to sonship. Let me see where I want to go here. Look at the first chapter of Ephesians. And as Paul was praying for the church, this beginning at verse 16. Well, I'll back it up to verse 15. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, listen to this, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. So we need to understand the hope of his calling. Now, while we're in Ephesians, let's move back up to verse 3, first chapter. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? Just as he chose us, you see that? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ in himself, according to what? The good pleasure of his will. Glory be to God. We're called to sonship. Yes, we are. Glory to God. Now let's read on. Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter. Beginning the first verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And I can't stop at verse 1. Let's go on into verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now, I want to tell y'all something. When I read this, I get excited. Glory to God. Because we have not seen it all. Oh, man. We have no idea. Oh my goodness. Get this on the inside of you. Let's read it again. It says, beloved, now we are children of God. If you're a child of God and you know it, say amen. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now, you know, there's folks that have their opinion and so forth about what we shall be. First of all, you cannot go beyond what the Word of God says. Amen. And let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? God is not telling us everything. Amen. He tells us what we need to know. Remember the disciples, before Jesus ascended back to heaven after his resurrection, they ask him, says, Jesus, I'm sort of paraphrasing here. Jesus, can you tell us when you're coming back? And Jesus says, no, only the Father. Only the Father knows that. But you know what? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we'll be honest. I would love to know the exact day Jesus was coming. Probably so did everybody else. Now, I love him. If he's not coming 500 years from now, which I believe he's going to be much sooner than that. But if it was 500 years, if it was 1,000 years, I've already made a decision. I'm going to serve him like he's coming tonight. Amen. But I'm also familiar with human nature, and of course, God created man, and he knows what's in man, and he knows, when I say man, we're talking mankind, that's male and female, and he knows some of us would do our thing until a day or two before he came. All the churches would be packed out. Glory to God. We would be packed out in this place, in the lower area, all in the balcony, and we'd have to try to find places for people to sit because, hey, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, and I want to make, and the altars would be full. But you know, the truth of the matter is we need to live like he's coming back in the next 5 minutes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No. We know he's coming to catch the church away. We don't know that date. We can watch the signs of the time. We can only know what the Word of God tells us. And some folks have prophesied he was coming this day or that day. Didn't happen. There's a guy, I don't remember the guy's name, don't have to, that prophesied that the Lord was coming and the world was coming to an end on a certain date. This has been some years ago. Kathy and I was invited to a meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina on that very same day. You know what? Some folks were getting all upset. Oh, you know, Jesus is coming. The world's supposed to come to the end, all that stuff. We just went on to Charlotte. A minister blessed us with a nice hotel there in Charlotte. I mean, just a nice, he didn't have to do it. Matter of fact, he don't really know us. I'm not calling his name because y'all would know who it is. Well known. But he was going to be in Charlotte. So he sent us an invitation to come to the meeting, and he reserved us a room. I remember sitting, I think we was on the 10th, 11th floor somewhere, I don't remember exactly. I remember sitting there looking out the windows. I wasn't afraid one bit. Because first of all, if Jesus had come, I was ready to go. But just because the fella said it, I had serious doubts about it because we don't know the day or the hour. Amen. But we need to always be ready. Praise the name of the Lord. So, anyway, glory to God. Let me read this one more time. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But I'm excited about it. Hallelujah. But we know that when he is revealed, listen at this. Now, see, God lets you know some things, but not everything. We don't know what we shall be, but we do know when he is revealed, we will what? We'll be like him. Why? Because we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We can't see him as he is right now in our natural bodies. We would be consumed. But one day we're going to be like him, and we're going to see him as he is. Glory to God. Are you still here? Amen. So we're called to sonship. We're called as sons of God. Now, I want to be fair. When we say sonship, that's not leaving the females out. Huh? That's not leaving the females out. Hallelujah. Now, while I'm on that, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. I'll just go a little while longer, and I'm not going to finish, but I want to leave you with a few things. Acts chapter 2. Sometimes the females catch a hard time. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 14. It says, and this is after the Holy Ghost had come. Amen. They were in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost came, and they began to speak in other tongues, other languages, so that all those that were around heard them speak in their own native tongue. So when you get to verse 14, this is Acts chapter 2, listen what Peter says. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody say last days. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Says who?
God.
Says who?
God.
Say it again.
God.
Says God. That I, who is I?
God,
that I will pour out of my spirit on the males. Huh? I shall pour out of my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Glory to God. Now, okay, hold it right there on verse 18. But I'm thinking now, Hallelujah. And I give God the glory for this, but I've seen visions since I've been born again. Yeah, I won't go into them, but I have seen visions as a young man, and you know, praise God. I've seen visions. Now, the Word of God said, old men shall dream dreams. So I wonder where the line is between the old men and the young men. You know, I don't know if I've reached the dreams, but I'm messing with y'all now. But listen to what it says. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. Look, give me verse 18. And on my men servants, you see that? And on my maid servants, now this is God talking. I will do what? I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall do what? They shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then God goes on to tell what he's going to do. I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, listen to this, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. So when I'm talking about sonship, I'm also talking about sons and daughters, or you can say children of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes the ladies feel like God don't need me. Oh yes, he does. There are many anointed ladies and notice what God says. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. I remember as a young minister how blessed I was. She's with the Lord now. She's in heaven. But I was blessed by Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. And I'm not going to say which one, but I remember, and I don't know if he remembers or not, but it's been a number of years ago, when all of our children were still at home, I happened to walk in on one of my sons. He was young. And he was watching Catherine Kuhlman on television with tears streaming down his face. You remember that? That blessed me so much. She was preaching the word of God, and he was sitting there, kid, just a little kid, watching her with tears just flowing down his face. I thought, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm so glad that we can all be anointed by God. And all of us have a purpose given to us by who? God. By God. By God. Hallelujah. And anytime you think you got God in a box, just by the time you think you got him all taped up, nailed down, he breaks out. He does something, we thought, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, but I'm not going to finish tonight. I know that. I want to take you to one other reference, which is found in the book of Hebrews, second chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm just going to pick it up at verse 1 and just read, okay? Hebrews chapter 2. He said, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will, for he has put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection. Let me reread that. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now let me stop right there just for a moment. The Bible tells us many things concerning hell, okay? Hell is a real place. It's a place of punishment. Those that are ungodly do not receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's where they're going. But it would be punishment to know what we could have had, but we didn't get. The Bible says at the white throne judgment, every person that's not born again will be standing there, and afterwards they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And listen, I'm saying this, I wonder, this is me talking, I wonder sometime if they would get a glimpse of what they missed out on. I mean, that would be terrible enough to know what you could have had, but you chose to go your own way. But let me read on. Verse 8 again. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus. You still with me? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Look at verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are what?
One.
All of one. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. All of one. For which reason? Grab a hold of this, my brothers and sisters. We get ready to quit, but grab a hold of this. He is Jesus. He is not ashamed to call them what?
Brethren.
My Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Just ask God, Lord, give me a greater revelation of your word. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. He's the one that came and suffered and died for us so that we could one day be called sons and daughters of God. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself, is not ashamed to call us his brethren or his brothers and his sisters. Why? Because we're all in the same family. We all have the same Father. Glory to God. And I don't know about y'all, but this stuff excites me. So I'm trying to finish. For both he who sanctifies, this is verse 11 again, those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, verse 12, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. I want to encourage you to go home and meditate on these verses. We are the sons and the daughters of God. And God, and we are here on purpose. There's a purpose. I'm closing with this. There is a purpose for our lives while we are on the earth. There's purpose for our lives after we depart this earth. We don't know what we shall be, but this one thing we do know, we'll be like him. Glory to God. And the Bible gives us little bits and pieces here and there, but we don't know the whole story. And we won't know till we get on the other side. But this one thing I can tell you, it is beyond good. It is beyond great. Matter of fact, the English language or no other language. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said when he went up to heaven, he heard things that cannot even be uttered here in this earth. If you're born again, I'm trying to get you excited. Yeah. Yeah, Pastor, but you don't know the trouble I'm dealing with. You don't know my story. You don't know my blues song. You don't know. Listen, shut up and start blessing God. Because the end of this thing will be greater than the beginning. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. If yours is written in the Lamb's book of life, you need to testify some way. Amen. A shout or something. Glory to God. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to God. And I am excited about that. Amen. I gotta quit. Praise God. Father, we thank you. You're such a wonderful Father. You love us so much. And you had us in mind before the foundation of the world. There's a call on each of us. And Father, I pray that we fulfill that call while we're here in the earth. Hallelujah. And in eternity future, glory be to God. We thank you for that. I thank you for the honor. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Now, if you're watching us and you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I extend that invitation to you right now. All you have to do is reach out and touch him by faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again from the dead for me. And I receive you now. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you now into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I give you my life and I make you my Lord. And I thank you, and I receive you right now by faith as my Lord and as my Savior. And I confess with my mouth that you are Lord of my life. And I believe it in my heart. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer and invited Jesus into your heart, contact us.